Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Strength and Health Podcast. I'm Scott Shetler. In this episode, I want to do a recap of the 2019 Arnold Classic, which I just got back from. If you're not familiar with the Arnold Classic, it's arguably the biggest sports and fitness expo in the world. The primary one, which is the one that I went to, has been held in Columbus, Ohio. I believe this was the 30th year. I think it was established in 1989, making this year the 30th. But since then, they've added the Arnold International, which they've got locations in Australia, Europe, Brazil, Africa, and Asia, if I recall correctly. So it's definitely something that's grown really large over the years. The first year that I went to the Arnold, I was actually living in Ohio at the time, was in 1998. And I went for the 98, I think 99, and 2000 and 2001. I think I went those years in a row. Then I went back in 05 and then not again until 09 and then 2010 were the times that I went. And even in that time, I saw a big evolution. It started out as primarily a bodybuilding contest, and it's a very big contest, probably second only to the Olympia. I don't know much about the bodybuilding competition community, but it's always been a really big event. And I believe the top one or top two get Olympia bids, if I'm not mistaken. But again, I'm not too into the bodybuilding scene, so I don't know a whole lot about that, and I don't want to give incorrect information. In fact, from this year, about the only thing I can tell you about bodybuilding is I think Brandon Curry won the Arnold Classic. So that's about all I can tell you on the bodybuilding end, but that's primarily what the Arnold Classic started out as. And then it had a expo where you'd get a lot of sports supplement companies, equipment manufacturers. You get a lot of the bodybuilders and athletes and stuff that would have their own booths where you could do meet and greets and things like that. And it actually started out when I was going back in 98, you could go to these supplement companies and get, you know, they're giving out packets of meal replacements and protein powders and all this stuff. And you could actually take a backpack, walk around the expo for a couple of days and probably get about 2 months worth of supplements. And now it's changed quite a bit. Now they usually just give out samples and things like that. But the way that event has grown over the years is pretty amazing. It was kind of neat to go back this year and see what it's evolved into since I first went in 98. Like I said, originally, I think it was held at the Veterans Memorial, and it's now moved to the Greater Columbus Convention Center. And they also use the Ohio Expo Center for the martial arts venue now. That's something that's grown pretty dramatically over the years. The first time I really remember the martial arts being there, I was there in 2009 was the first time I noticed it. And I know it was around prior to that, but I was involved in the first ever kettlebell sport competition, which was a combined effort between the World Kettlebell Club, the North American Kettlebell Federation, the IKFF, and I think Iron FE or something like that. I can't remember that organization, but it was a joint event, and it was the first time kettlebell sport was contested at the Arnold Classic, and I wanted to be part of it. I got to compete that year, and I actually also doubled as the MC for the event. We had a big event. We had about 110 or so lifters competing that day. It was a great venue, but they stuck us over with the martial arts area, so we were actually on their side of the expo floor. And back then, they had basically split the expo floor in half. You know, half was the martial arts venue, the other half was the fitness venue, and then the stages that they used for the various competitions that they held on the expo floor. And then they use other rooms in the convention center for, you know, the auditoriums and things like that, which is where they hold the bodybuilding finals, where they have some of the powerlifting events and the weightlifting events and things like that as well. So it's really sprawled outside of the expo floor. But like I said, the martial arts were involved in the same building, and now they're actually at the Ohio Expo Center. And unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to go down there and check it out, but they've taken over their own venue, you know, because they've grown so big, which is pretty awesome. Like I said, the event is actually pretty overwhelming. There's a lot of stuff going on. I know that in 2009, when we were there, I think there were over 75 sports participating in the weekend event. So it's definitely grown outside of bodybuilding, and you see everything from like cheerleading and different types of competitive dance to, I think they had gymnastics, they've got the bodybuilding amateur and professional, they've got all different levels of powerlifting as well as single lift contests, they've got Olympic weightlifting, they've got kettlebell sports, they've got strongman, amateur strongman. There's just so many different events. You know, I think they do like a 5K pump and run. This year I saw a ninja course. I think it was a Spartan race. Of course, they've got the CrossFit area. So there's just really a lot of stuff going on and different levels of competition that you have the opportunity to participate in, which makes it a pretty amazing weekend. So I decided to go back this year mainly because one of the kettlebell sport lifters that I've been doing the programming for was competing, and I hadn't been to the Arnold, like I said, since 2010, I think was the last time I was there. So I just kind of wanted to see what was going on and also use it as an excuse to get over and visit Westside Barbell and Louis Simmons. If you follow me, you know I'm a big fan of the work of Louis Simmons and what he's done at Westside Barbell, and I use a lot of his training methods in the programming that I do with my clients and athletes, and I've visited there numerous times. And since the Arnold happens in Columbus, which is where Westside is, I figured I'd be able to make a visit or two over there as well. So basically, I decided to drive up from Atlanta. The trip itself was a little bit of a mess. It should be about a 8.5, 9 hour drive, and it took a little over 12 hours to get up there just because of the bad weather on the way up. It was raining, and then once I got into northern Kentucky, the snow started, and it was just kind of a mess of a drive, and ended up getting stuck in rush hour in both Atlanta and Cincinnati. So the drive was just miserable, but I finally got in. I rented an Airbnb over in Dublin, Ohio, which is kind of a nice little area in Columbus, and only about 15 to 20 minutes to Westside Barbell, and only about 15 to 20 minutes to the downtown and the Expo Center. So it was actually a pretty good location. But I got in late Thursday night, just made a quick run, checked into my Airbnb, which the place was amazing. Definitely plan on staying there again if I end up back in Columbus for anything. Checked in, ran over to Whole Foods, and stocked up on some food for the weekend, and just got some pre-made vegan grub so I could get back and eat because I was starving from not really eating a whole lot on the drive up, and got settled in for the night. And I had scheduled for Friday, I scheduled an hour block of time to go over to Westside Barbell. So that was the first thing I did. It was from 9 to 10. So got up and had some breakfast and went over, checked in over there for the workout, and actually got to see Louie right away. There's a his group of lifters that he coaches in the morning. They were just finishing up their workout when we'd gotten there, and there was a pretty decent sized group of people that had already gotten together who were visiting Westside. So we came in and got to talk to Louis for a little bit. Actually took him a couple martial art books on the Shaolin Temple, which he's a big fan of, and took him a couple t-shirts from the gym and our jiu-jitsu academy down here, and I got to talk to him for a few minutes, and then caught a great workout up there. I did a lot of work in the athletic training platform, which is their version of the belt squat machine. Did a lot of work on their reverse hyper, their inverse curl machine. Used some of the specialty equipment that he's got up there that he's designed through his business. And then I got to talk to him for probably about 20, 30 minutes, just kind of catching up, talked a little bit about some of the athletes, particularly some of the jiu-jitsu athletes and fighters I was training. We always talk a lot about training philosophy, and we always talk a lot about martial arts and Chinese martial arts, and then just any weird random topic that we get rolling on. But it's always awesome to visit up there, and always walk away from that place with more knowledge than I got there with. So I'm always grateful to Louis for the time that he gives. He's one of the most gracious people you'll ever meet. He doesn't charge a thing. If you want to go up there and visit, train there, learn from him, it's totally free. All you got to do is schedule the time to get up there and go up there with an open mind and ready to learn and ready to work. So that was great. Got to train there for a little bit, and then went back to the Airbnb. I actually had to do my online coaching client program, so I knocked those out late morning around lunchtime. I grabbed a shower, and then I shot down to the expo mid-afternoon. The expo only goes on until about 5:30, but I got in. I was able to walk around the expo floor a little bit, saw my buddy Yuri, who runs the Arnold Classic. He's on the board for the Arnold Classic kettlebell sport competition. I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute, but it's really cool to see what that's grown into. But I got to talk to Yuri for about 15, 20 minutes or so, and I knew I'd see him throughout the weekend. So it was nice to catch up with him. Hadn't seen him in a long time, since probably 2014, which I think was the last year that I hosted a kettlebell sport meet in Georgia. And I had affiliated with his organization, the American Kettlebell Alliance. So he would come down, and they would provide all the awards and the equipment and stuff like that for the competition. And he always runs a great event. So I'm really glad to see what he's done at the Arnold. So it was good to catch up with him. And then I had gotten a ticket to see the West Side versus the World documentary, which they were screening Friday and Saturday night at the Arnold. So I just kind of killed some time, got some food, grabbed some coffee, and caught up on a few emails and stuff. And then, you know, as we got closer to 6:30, went down to the room where they were showing the screening, and I got in, and there's quite a few people that turned out for the first night of the screening. Some of the better known lifters that showed up. There was actually a guy, Bob Coe, who was an old school West Side lifter who was in attendance. And then Matt Wenning, who actually trained at West Side Barbell for a little while, and he's featured in the documentary. Travis Mash, who was a lifter down here in North Carolina, had quite a big total in powerlifting, I believe, back in 2004. He hit an all-time total record of 2,410 pounds, maybe around that time. I think it was at the 220 class. It had broke the all-time record that Ed Cohn had set. He was actually there with Matt, and it was kind of cool to see these people turn out to watch the documentary. And about 6:30, they started the movie, and it was amazing. The documentary was incredibly well done. It's taken a little while to come out. Michael Fahey, who's the director of it, actually had some problems with a business partner that he brought in. You can read all about it on their Kickstarter site, but basically the Kickstarter funds got stolen by this partner. There's a big lawsuit. They finally got everything resolved, but unfortunately they're having to replenish the Kickstarter funds by hosting screenings of the documentary around the country, and then they're using that money to replenish it. But the good news is that they, even though they're behind schedule, they did get a distributor, got a distribution deal worked out. The movie will be coming out on iTunes on May 7th. A digital download link is going to be provided to the Kickstarter backers before May 7th so that they'll have earlier access to it than everybody else. And then after that, it's going to hit all the streaming platforms, and they're going to start working on fulfilling the Kickstarter orders, I believe they said in May as well. So it looks like the end's in sight. It's been a long, long wait for it. But after seeing the documentary, I can tell you, if you're a fan, if you've supported it, if you're wanting to see it, you'll really enjoy it. It was incredibly well done. And I don't want to say a lot about it and spoil it, but the trailer does a good job. That you can find the trailer on YouTube, does a really good job at giving an overview of what the documentary covers, and just a lot of really cool insight into that. And I really was happy I got to see it. Really enjoyed the content, and I had the opportunity to speak with Michael Fahey, the director, on Saturday. Talked for about 20 or 30 minutes outside the room, and it was actually kind of cool to have a conversation with him, and just a heck of a nice guy. I know it's got to be a tough road for him, you know, dealing with what he's dealt with, and I you know, as mad as the people have gotten, you know, about the delay and everything that's happened with it, I mean, he's dealing with it too. So it's not like, you know, he's having a good time through this whole thing. You know, he's working his butt off to get this out there, and just a lot of props to him for pushing it as hard as he has and working his butt off to get this thing out. And just like I said, heck of a nice guy. Really enjoyed my conversation with him. Found out he worked on a couple of documentaries. I'm a big fan of being a vegan. He worked on the Forks Over Knives documentary, and I think he said the Plant Pure Nation documentary, which is very cool. Really enjoyed both of those documentaries, and got some cool conversation with him about working on those as well. So really, really happy I got the opportunity to talk with Michael, and definitely recommend checking out West Side Versus the World, supporting the project. It's a great documentary if you like powerlifting and strength sports, and just a great documentary about a really important place in the world of strength training and powerlifting. So that was Friday night. So that wrapped up about 9 o'clock by the time I got out of the expo, and I was pretty tired. So I just went back to the room. So anyway, we had a big day on Saturday. Checked in with my lifter Cam and his girlfriend Cheryl, who I coach both of them in powerlifting. They had come down from Toronto. Their Cam was competing, like I said, on Saturday in the long cycle event at the kettlebell sport competition. So they had gotten in. So I talked to them for a little bit, and just went back to the B&B to try to get some sleep and get ready for the big day on Saturday. So Saturday came, got up, and I hooked up with Cam and Cheryl at their hotel. We drove in together to the expo, and it's just a zoo trying to find parking, and it's amazing how much traffic comes into Columbus that weekend. So I dropped cam off so he could go get weighed in and get ready for the event, which I think was starting at about 10:30 or 11. And we went and parked and made the journey across town back to the expo and got checked in and found our way down to the kettlebell sport room. And the minute I walk in, I hear my old buddy Duffy say something, make a smart ass comment to me. I heard him before I saw him. And my buddy Chris Duffy, who is a great kettlebell sport competitor and coach in the world of kettlebell sport, he and I have been friends for many years now. I first met him in 08, and it was great to see him and catch up with him. And then it was just like a reunion of the old guys. I saw my buddy Marty Farrell, who was very prominent in kettlebell sport back in the early days. You know, Marty, when he was living in Georgia, we started doing these kettlebell sport meets down in my basement in 2004, affiliated with the North American Kettlebell Federation. And that was basically it back then. You know, people would hold these small basement meets, and we would submit the results to Lorraine Patton, who ran the NAKF at the time, and she'd publish the results. I mean, it was very, very crude, but that was also the birth of kettlebell sport in the U.S. You know, it had been big in Russia and some European countries, you know, other places around the world. But this was the first time that there had really been a big push to get something going in the United States. And it was really cool to be kind of there at the beginning to see it evolve. And it made it pretty nostalgic, you know, getting together with some of my old friends from the kettlebell sport world there at the meet, at the venue, and then seeing that, you know, we represented such a small percentage of the people that were there. There were so many people there that I didn't know. Obviously, the ones that I did, you know, Yuri, like I said, he's been running the American Kettlebell Alliance, and he's been the chairperson for the Arnold Kettlebell Sport Meets, and he's doing a great job on the promotion. He runs a hell of a competition. Was really impressed with everything that he did. Yvonne Denisov was there, or Denisov, he's the, as far as I know, the absolute record holder. I don't know that his totals in the biathlon or the long cycle traditional kettlebell sport have been surpassed. He put up some crazy numbers. I may have these incorrect, but I think his best jerk with the 32 kilo bells, pair of 32 kilo bells, is 175 reps in 10 minutes. I believe his best snatch is somewhere around 236 reps with a single arm snatch with one hand switch, 10 minutes traditional kettlebell sport. And I believe his long cycle record is 116 reps, maybe somewhere around there, with a pair of 32 kilo bells in the long cycle clean and jerk event in traditional kettlebell sport. The guy's an absolute monster. I've seen him lift as a guest lifter at a meet I participated in Vegas back in 08, and I've seen him at other competitions, and the guy is just one of the strongest, most well-conditioned athletes I've ever seen, and just a really, really cool guy. So it was nice to be able to shake his hand again. Got a pretty funny photo taken with him. I saw my old friend Ken Blackburn, who is Steve Cotter's partner in the IKFF. Ken was kind of there in the early days of the AKC and WKC under Coach Fedorenko. He runs a gym, I believe, up in Michigan. He's been at a couple of my events in the past, and he was part of the first ever Arnold event back in 09, and he's coached some great lifters. He had some people lifting at this event. It's great to see him and talk to him for a few minutes. Outside of that, Fedorenko came walking in. I hadn't seen my old coach in many years, actually, since I left the WKC, which, nothing, you know, I don't want to get too into the politics, because just like any organization, there's politics in kettlebell sport, just like there is in powerlifting and weightlifting and all these other, you know, cult sports that nobody cares about except for the people that actually do them. But I had been affiliated with his organization since 2007, and I actually left in 2012. Was it 2012 or maybe early 2013? I can't remember. I was with them for about 5, maybe 6 years, and actually ended up teaching certification courses for them as one of Fedorenko's master trainers. And as I was competing in kettlebell sport, I used all his programming and methodologies that he taught us. And I've always been going to be a fan of Valeri Fedorenko. He was a great coach. I credit him for everything that I learned in kettlebell sport, and it is just the politics around the organization that, as far as I'm concerned, didn't reflect on him, that he had nothing to do with. Just the reason that a lot of us left and that organization ended up, to the best of my knowledge, is falling apart. But Fedorenko's an amazing guy, an amazing lifter. And like my buddy Duffy said this weekend, if you're participating in kettlebell sport in the United States, or you're using competition kettlebells in the United States, you got that guy to thank, because he was the one that brought it to the US. So you can't, you know, you can't deny any of that. You can't deny his methods are great for building kettlebell sports numbers, for developing the athletes. He's developed a lot of master of sport lifters himself, and he's just a great coach. So it was really good to see him. Duffy and I got to talk to him for a few minutes, and you know, I joked, he still kind of looks at me like a disappointed father, so nothing's changed, and that feels good, because that's kind of the Russian way, not to focus on the good stuff, but to focus on what you're doing wrong. And I got better. I became a better lifter because of working with him, so it was great to see him. But like I said, outside of that, it was really a bunch of new faces, and I posted about this on one of the photos that I posted on my Facebook page, that how incredibly impressed I was, you know, being there in the early days in 04 when this kettlebell sport thing was just getting rolling, and there is literally a handful of people in the U.S. doing it, participating, training, trying to learn what we could, to seeing where it has come now, you know, just 15 years later, it was really incredibly impressive to see what the sport's become. And, you know, like I said, my hat's off to the promoters, the coaches, the trainers, the athletes who have brought this to the level that they have, because it's definitely, for strength sports, it's become a mainstream strength sport, as far as I'm concerned, right up there with Olympic weightlifting, with powerlifting, with strongman. And kettlebell sport is the best. In my opinion, it did what CrossFit wanted to do, and that was to be the bridge between multiple fitness abilities. You know, when you think about it, kettlebell sport, you have to be strong to a certain level, but not strong as a power lifter, you know, or a strongman, because you are lifting weights. But you've got to be incredibly conditioned. You've got to have a tremendous amount of aerobic endurance, aerobic capacity development, but not to the same level that a marathon runner or a triathlete would need. You know, you need levels of flexibility and mobility. You need this, it's a strength endurance or a power endurance sport. So you need to possess a broad range of physical qualities to excel in the sport and to progress in a linear manner, to constantly, you know, improve your numbers. And it's just, you know, it's probably, they're some of the most well-rounded athletes that I've ever seen. Strong, good grip strength, good back strength, great levels of conditioning. And in my opinion, you know, CrossFit is just more of a haphazard version of that. You know, kettlebell sports is just a more structured competition that requires multiple levels of physical development. In my opinion, some of the best general physical preparation, some of the best GPP you can build is through training the way a kettlebell sport lifter would train. I even talked about with this with Louis Simmons on Friday when I was at Westside, and even again on Monday when I went back, because he was responsible for Brandon Fedorenko to the 06, I think it was 2006 WPO powerlifting event to do a demonstration. Fedorenko clean and pressed 35 pound kettlebell, 16 kilo kettlebell, 2006 times without putting it down. I think he switched hands maybe every 10 reps or something like that, but he never set the kettlebell down. And to this day, Louis is still, he still talks about that, still impressed with it, massively impressed with it. And he said that is GPP, you know, that's work capacity. And that's what kettlebell lifting builds. It builds a tremendous amount of work capacity and strengthens, you know, joint integrity, strengthens the tendons, the ligaments. It's one of the best bangs for your bucks, and something that every strength athlete should do to support their training. You know, if you're not going to train for kettlebell sport itself, I use it with my martial artists, with my fighters. I use it with my strength athletes. You know, it's one of the best means of training that you can do to get a huge bang for your buck. So big fan of kettlebell lifting, and kettlebell sport is just a brutal, it's the pinnacle of kettlebell lifting. And I just really, really enjoyed being at the event on Saturday, seeing the great performances, the big numbers, both men and women. Awesome to see women lifting two kettlebells now, instead of just, it started out when I got into kettlebell sport, single arm snatch was all they competed in. Fedorenko pushed to get the single arm jerk biathlon and the long cycle, the clean and jerk, into competition. And then that eventually evolved into women stepping up and saying, there's no reason we can't do two kettlebells. A lot of them started experimenting with it in training. You know, you'd see a lot of these girls posting training set videos and stuff, but they pushed, and now it's an event for them at these competitions. And these girls are just badass, putting up really, really big numbers. Can't remember her name. I talked to her a little bit. There's this girl from Canada who put up 88 reps in the long cycle with a pair of 20 kilo bells. Insanely impressive work. It was an amazing set. Technique looked good. She was very impressive. And it's just really cool to see what this sport has become. And, you know, it's a special breed of cat that's attracted to the sport, again, to quote my buddy Duffy. And, it's just awesome to be part of it. So just really, really enjoyed being there for the event. Really enjoyed my lifter Cam did great. He didn't hit a personal record, but he managed 70 reps in the clean and jerk and the long cycle with 24 kilo bells, and his technique looked great. Definitely pointed out some things that we need to work on technique wise on his game and his overall conditioning, but I was really, really happy with his set. He did really, really well. It was a great effort on his part. So spent the rest of the day around, mainly around the kettlebell sport venue, had lunch with Marty and Duffy and Cam and Cheryl, which was nice to get out and just kind of BS, and went out that night at dinner and watched the UFC fights, went out with a lot of the kettlebell lifters and just to get to meet some of them and just kind of talk about kettlebell sport in the early days and just share some of the things that myself and Marty and Duffy saw early on before these people were involved with it. It was just kind of cool to take that stroll down memory lane and kind of talk about where the sport came from in the U.S. And just to hear all these new people, their experiences with the sport, you know, all the mutual friends that we have. And it's just such a cool community of basically misfits. My buddy Eric calls kettlebell sport the punk rock of the strength sport world, and he's definitely right about that. So just a really cool day. Like I said, my Saturday, I did get to the expo a little bit, but it centered mostly around the kettlebell sport competition. I did get to see the Husafell Stone carry on a Friday night at the expo. I got to see Brian Shaw and Hop Thor Bjornsson. Some of you may know him as the Mountain on Game of Thrones. He's also currently the holder of the World's Strongest Man title. Got to see them do their Husafell Stone carries, which was insanely impressive. The Husafell Stone is my favorite event. I'm a big fan of the actual Husafell Stone. These people actually go over to Iceland and lift it and carry it around the goat pen that Snorri Bjornsson built a long time ago, and it's just one of the Klakkuidfyrr, the manhood stones, the testing stones. So that's always been one of my favorite events in strongman competition. So it was cool to see two of the best strongman competitors perform that event. That was awesome. Didn't really get to spend too much time at the expo on Saturday. Made a couple laps, but it is just that's the busiest day. It's literally shoulder to shoulder people, and it's nuts how many people get packed in that expo center to walk around to all the booths and to all the stages where they have all the different events going on. So I didn't get to see that. I saw a little bit of the powerlifting that was going on Saturday. Saw some pretty big bench presses and stuff, and I saw a little bit of Highland Games competition. I saw the caber toss, which was awesome. But, other than that, the most of the day on Saturday was spent, you know, with the kettlebell crew over at the kettlebell sport venue. And then you saw a little bit of the pro power thing, like I said. Then that was it for the night. We capped the night off. We found a place, Miller's Ale House, where they were showing the UFC fight. So we watched the UFC card. And then that was it. Checked in for the night. Back to the expo on Sunday. Sunday brought some snow into the mix, so it was snowing pretty heavy. Made my way back downtown, got checked into the expo for the final day, and that was my day to kind of walk around the expo, check out all the companies that were there, saw a little bit of some of the no-gi grappling that was going on. I think it was Grappling Industries that were there, but like I said, the rest of the martial arts with the Ohio Expo Center, so I didn't get to go down there for that. But saw the Ninja Warrior course, which is pretty cool. Saw some more of the strongman, the amateur strongman that was going on. Saw some more of the professional powerlifting that was going on. And that was just my day, like I said, to kind of walk around the expo. Saw my friends Robert, Cheek, and Vanessa Espinoza from the vegan bodybuilding and vegan strength community. They had a booth for their vegan strong group that they're pushing, which was cool. They hooked me up with some cool gear. So it was nice to catch up with them, talk to them for a little bit. And it's always good to see them. Robert is kind of the godfather of the vegan bodybuilding community. So it's always fun to see those two great people. Got to meet the goat of powerlifting, Ed Cohn. I saw him at one of the booths, got up, got to take a picture with him, talked to him for a few minutes, was incredibly, incredibly honored and incredibly cool to meet him. Greatest powerlifter ever. And just a super, super nice guy. I really enjoyed getting to meet him and talk to him. Got to see some of the strongmen walking around. I saw Brian Shaw, Eddie Hall. I got to see Kaz. I'd gotten a picture with Kaz many years ago. He was really busy at the SBD booth doing some videos and stuff like that, so I didn't get to get another picture. But I did snag a picture of him because, you know, even to this day, the guy still looks great. He's still a monster. You know, Kaz, it's just there's only one, and there will ever only be one. Just such a legend in strength sports here in the U.S. And internationally with what he did with the World's Strongest Man competition. So that was cool. And then other than that, it was just walking around, kind of checking out the freak show. Lots of insanely jacked people walking around. Lots of normal people just walking around. A lot of average gym goers, fitness fans, competitors. I mean, it's just this crazy, crazy, crazy weekend where people get together who are involved in some aspect of the fitness or the strength or the bodybuilding world. And there's something there for everybody. You know, if you've never been and you're thinking about going, I definitely recommend getting out there at least once to check it out. It's something you got to see. Seeing these people in person, you know, especially the big, you know, so you don't get an appreciation. Like I'd watch the World's Strongest Man on TV and you know, those dudes are big, but seeing Zydrunas Zviskus for the first time, literally standing next to him and seeing how big he was back in the day, you know, seeing Thor in person, seeing, you know, Brian Shaw, you get an appreciation for what these people do to get to the top of their game. And it's impressive, you know, to see all these freaks under one roof. So really enjoyed my time up there. Actually got back out to Westside Barbell Monday morning. Got to go to breakfast with Louie and the morning crew. Like I said, always great to talk to Louie. He and I end up talking about martial arts most of the time. Shaolin Temple, you know, Qigong and Kung Fu. So it's always fun to talk to him. Got to meet my friend Allie, who's a big power. I know her through the vegan community, but I got to meet her in person. She's been doing a little bit of training at Westside. She benched 500 a while back, and she's just an insanely strong power lifter. Got to see her pull a big deadlift. She pulled a rack deadlift with 425 and quadrupled mini bands, which I think adds around 220 pounds or so of added tension. I mean, she's crushed this lift. Really awesome to see how strong she's getting. Wish nothing but the best for her and her competitive career. Got to see some people, you know, that I'd seen around the gym in the past, a great sprinter that's been training with Louie and now Dr. Romanov, a girl named Kylie, who she's been there every time I visited. She does a lot of training up there. Really cool girl. Made some huge improvements in her running game. So I can't wait to see what she does with her competitive sprint career. Wish her nothing but the best. And then as always, it's just great to talk to Louie about training. He's always got some advice for me, anything that I'm working on. Just great tips, great advice. Like I said, every time I go there, I walk away knowing more than I did when I got there. So hats off to Louie. Always grateful that he's always inviting me to breakfast and inviting me to come visit the gym when, you know, I can barely warm up or I max out with these guys' warm-up weights. You know, it's just a gym full of titans, mastodons, and it's always, always impressive to get to visit that place. That's how I kind of wrapped up Monday, went back to the B&B and just did a little bit of work, edited some videos that I was working on, and just got ready for the drive back to Atlanta on Tuesday. So it was almost a week that I was up there, and it was a long weekend, a busy weekend. Like I said, got to catch up with a lot of friends, and the Arnold is always, always enormous, and it's amazing to see every year that thing keeps getting bigger. They keep adding more and doing more. And, you know, I don't know if I'll be the guy that goes back every year, but I'll probably make my way back up there again at some point. And if you've never gone, but you're interested in strength, fitness, bodybuilding, you know, anything related to that community, you got to go at least once to check it out. You got to experience that weekend just once. And like I said, you'll hate it. You'll love it. You'll love to hate it. You'll hate to love it. It can be a tiring, frustrating weekend, just dealing with massive crowds of people and stuff, but it's a spectacle of an event, and glad I got back up there. Glad I got to reconnect with the kettlebell community, see what that has become, and just see everything that I did, see the competitions that I saw, see the lifters I saw, and just really, really had a good time. So, been kind of digesting it over the last couple of days since I've been back in the gym here in Atlanta, back to work. So, I just want to do this podcast just to kind of share my experience this weekend. My experience is going to differ from everybody else that went because there's so much going on up there. There's so many different things to do. It's just something for everybody. So, I was glad I got back up there. Was glad that I got to see it all. Wish the weather would have been a little bit better. Can't stand that cold. I don't miss living up in Ohio. This just reminded me of one of the many reasons I moved. But it was great to go back. Great to see it. Hope you'll get a chance to make it if you're interested in it. And if you've got any questions or comments about the show, be sure to email me at scott@eptsgym.com. If you got any suggestions for future show topics, email those to me as well. All my contact info is going to be down in the show notes. And if you want to check out some of the experience that I had at the Arnold, I've posted a lot of photos on my Instagram as well as my Facebook page. I'll put links in the show notes for that as well. And until next time, stay strong and stay healthy.